As tens of thousands of students worldwide protest inaction on climate change, we'll be looking at the cost of a big experiment in a tiny country. This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. First, though, Chinese lawmakers passed a new investment law today which seeks to address tensions with the U.S. on things like intellectual property theft, unfair subsidies to Chinese companies, and the practice of forcing foreign firms to hand over tech secrets as the price of entry to China's massive market. The BBC's Robin Brandt has more from Shanghai.
It's a very significant shake-up of the regulations and laws surrounding the investment environment for foreign firms. It's been welcomed by the American business community here to an extent, but there are concerns about ambiguity within the legislation and also the way it's been rushed through, not much consultation with foreign companies. On the positive side, it changes some of the requirements of firms coming here in terms of not needing approval from the Ministry of Commerce anymore. It decreases the amount of sectors that they are banned from. There's better regulations in terms of technology transfer. One of the biggest complaints for American firms in particular is that they're forced to bring their technology here, give it to their Chinese partners. Also, better enforcement on intellectual property. That's a very contentious issue when it comes to these ongoing negotiations between the US and China.
Robin Brandt, let's do the numbers. China's latest move has sent Asian stocks higher. Japan's TOPIX rose more than 1% after the central bank kept rates steady. The Bank of Japan said while the economy is impacted by the global slowdown, it should maintain its growth pace. Now, the grounding of Boeing's 737 MAX 8 jets worldwide has led to a fare spike in the world's fastest growing aviation market, India. In some cases, prices have surged more than 100%. The BBC's Samir Hashmi has more.
There are a couple of reasons for that. Number one, of course, the grounding of the 737 MAX aircraft. There are two airlines in India, SpiceJet and Jet Airways, that were using these aircraft. SpiceJet had 13 737 in their fleet, and it has severely affected their operations. And the second thing has been that Jet Airways, which is one of the largest airlines in India, has been facing financial problems, and that has forced them to really ground a lot of their flights to cut down on expenditures. The aviation regulator has come out and issued an advisory asking airlines to make sure that the airfares don't shoot up substantially. But given the supply and demand situation right now, that advisory has not been followed on the ground because airfares have shot up significantly, especially on routes that are very popular. So all the big cities that are connected, for example, Mumbai, Delhi, Hyderabad, Chennai, these are some of the biggest cities in India and attract a lot of air travel. And the third thing that has made it even more difficult for passengers to get cheap tickets is that next week is Holi, which is one of the biggest festivals in India, a time when a lot of people travel. So there is already so much demand. So all those factors and 737 have also got grounded. That just make the situation worse.
Samir Hashmi. Today, tens of thousands of students worldwide intend to walk out of school to demand politicians urgently act on climate change. They're inspired by 16-year-old Swedish student Greta Thunberg, who walked out of her school last summer to sit outside her parliament. These are some of the kids in my hometown of Bath planning to participate in today's coordinated day of action.
My name is Ruby and I'm 8 years old. It's killing our planet and we need to do whatever we can to stop it.
My name's Kitty and I'm 9 years old. I'm worried about all the animals and the ice caps that are melting. And I'm also worried about us. The pollution's getting so strong. I walk to school and I just have this thick scent of pollution in the air. It's not nice.
Well, those kids might be inspired by Costa Rica. The country wants to go fossil fuel free by 2050. The New York Times international climate reporter Soumini Sen Gupta has been telling me more.
Costa Rica is a tiny country in Central America. Population is 5 million people, and it's got tons of forests. They really pride themselves on being stewards of the environment, and they've actually leveraged this to their advantage because they get tons of tourists. And now they've got this kind of audacious goal to be free of fossil fuels by 2050.
That is one heck of a goal. So what do they need to do to achieve it?
Transportation is the single largest source of greenhouse gas emissions for Costa Rica. Its population is concentrated in the San Jose metropolitan area, and it's like a sprawling Latin American city. I got on a bus with a housekeeper, and her commute each way was 2 hours. Traffic is so bad. So It intends to put new electric trains in, new electric buses, encourage people to really not buy cars and motorcycles anymore, which is, you know, the ambition of millions of people.
Yeah, and fixing all of that, I imagine, comes with a pretty hefty price tag, and this is a developing country.
It is. An initial back-of-the-envelope sort of estimate puts it at over $6 billion. Where are they going to get that money? That's a big question. And in order to get that money from foreign banks, they've got to fix some things. They've got to get better at tax collection. They've cracked down on tax evaders. There are lots of politically connected industries that get tax breaks. They've got to figure out how to fix that.
Should the rest of the world be watching Costa Rica for lessons?
The rest of the world should absolutely watch Costa Rica because it's got some pretty big advantages. It's a stable country. It's a small country. Its electricity comes already from renewable sources for the most part. Hydropower, some wind, some solar. So it doesn't have to decarbonize its electricity sector like many emerging economies do. It's got a real advantage. But if a tiny, stable, already pretty green country can't decarbonize, the question is, who can?
Soumani Samgupta of The New York Times, and I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.